More red lights on. Is that working now? The time is 1:35. The date is the 15th of April, 1983. The place is room 124, the judiciary hearing room located in the capital of Juneau, Alaska. Present at the hearing today are Representative Hayes, Representative Liska, Representative Barnes, and myself, Representative Bussell. The matters that issued today are House Bill 188 and House Bill 195. House Bill 195 is going to be the first issue today for reasons of the scheduling committee members here. House Bill 195 is an act permitting transfer of forfeiture of aircraft to the Alaska Wing of the Civil Air Patrol. And each of your packets contain a committee substitute that was prepared along with the original bill. The sponsor of the bill, Representative Davis, is here. And at this time, Representative Davis, if you'd be seated in the witness chair. And since we are recording electronically, I believe we have the substitute.
Thank you.
Okay. Since we are recording electronically, I'll need you to state your name for the record before you proceed with your statement.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Mike Davis. From District 19. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to address you today. This was an issue that was brought up by one of my constituents, and that the Civil Air Patrol doesn't have access to forfeited airplanes. And I felt this was an organization that also should be considered along with other state agencies, so I introduced the bill. In your packet, you should have all the aircraft that's been forfeited since statehood. Also, Mr. Everett Long interviewed a number of people, air taxi operators, airport managers, squad leaders, different people around the state, what they thought of the bill, and also a proposed committee substitute. And also, I just handed a prepared testimony. I'd like to read part of that with the chairman's permission. The efficiency of the Civil Air Patrol depends on the strength of its permanent fleet. Although the private aircraft is extremely important to the Civil Air Patrol's operation, private aircraft alone cannot be exclusively relied in a crisis situation. The legislation before you does not mandate the title of forfeit aircraft to be transferred to the Civil Air Patrol. This bill does, however, bring before the department the attention of the ability of the Civil Air Patrol to receive these aircraft. Several state agencies, notably the Alaska State Troopers, Alaska Department of Fish and Game, and Fish and Wildlife Protection, also rely on aircraft to conduct much of their work. The aircraft which these agencies depend on depends on the suitability to the work being performed. For example, the troopers require aircraft which have quick response time and are also large enough to accommodate a pilot, a prisoner, and an escort. The Department of Fish and Game, on the other hand, require aircraft capable of landing in a variety of bush situations. The aircraft best suited to the Civil Air Patrol's operations are those of long-range flight, such as Beavers. Because of the different aircraft requirements for these agencies, no additional competition for forfeited aircraft is expected to occur. I spoke to Dick Rowntree, who is here today, legislative liaison for military affairs, Colonel Kowalski, director of Alaska State Troopers, Colonel Stickles, director of Fish and Wildlife Protection, and the Civil Air Patrol wing commander, Colonel Anderson, who is also here today. In regard to this bill, and I'm pleased to report that there is no objection to a raise from any of these agencies towards this legislation. Department Administration and Department of Public Safety also have expressed approval of this. There are some points brought up by you, Mr. Chairman, in the Resources Committee, which we tried to address in a proposed committee substitute which you have in your packet. I might add also Jonathan Berger was my aide is here, and if there's any questions, I'd like to, I'd be glad to answer those questions, or perhaps my aide can also answer those questions. And I believe Mr. Rowntree and Colonel Anderson might also have some comments on this legislation.
Questions, committee members, Representative Davis, Representative Liska?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Davis, I believe it. And we had this in the Resources Committee. The question come up that the Civil Air Patrol is actually a branch of the military. Controlled more than by the military, if I recall. Was this correct? In your committee substitute here, you're saying that title would not be transferred over to the Civil Air Patrol wing. Is this basically the difference that you're putting in this committee substitute?
Well, see, Representative Liska, right here it says that if they do transfer, they do will transfer the title, but they would then have to stay in Alaska for a, you see on page 2, it says for at least 36 months, or they have to, it could be exchanged with another aircraft of similar or greater value, or if it is disposed, it has to be first approved by the Department of Administration. Those are questions that were raised in the resources, and that's why that language was put in. That's correct.
Mr. Chairman, the only question I had, I think we all pretty well agreed on the resources, except for that particular item there, whether it could be constitutional or not. I believe that was the only question we had at the time.
Is it
covered under
this? Constitutes the contractual arrangement between the state of Alaska and the CNP. Title condition down there, the transfer condition down there, position.
Yeah.
No further questions. Thank you, Representative Davis. Mr. Roundtree, the
thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Roundtree, since we are recording electronically, I'll need you to make your state your name for the record prior to making your statement. Thank you.
I'm Dick Roundtree. I'm admin director with the Department of Military Affairs. We have worked fairly closely with the Representative Davis's office on the amendment to this bill, and we had one main concern at the department level was that the state would not be liable for these aircraft upon transfer to the Civil Air Patrol. Therefore, it was amended that they would be ownership of the aircraft would be transferred directly to the CAP and not be state property assigned to the Department of Military Affairs, which would cause them to come under the state blanket insurance policy. Then there would be a fiscal impact if that was the case. The way the bill is now written, committee substitute, the state would not be liable, and therefore there would not be a fiscal impact. If there are any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
I'm delighted the way it came out. Are there questions of Mr. Roundtree?
No, I just want to know if it was your intent to accept the motion to move the bill today.
Yes.
I'd be happy to call a couple of members if it's necessary, but I hope there isn't.
You can call them if you'd like. Representative Hayes is just doing a little TV spot right now, and he'll be right back.
No, I'm just saying that.
It's my intention to get two motions, one to adopt the committee substitute, the other one to move the bill.
No questions.
Thank you very much, Mr. Roundtree.
Thank you.
Andy, do you care to make a statement to us with regards to the bill? Andy, since we are recording electronically, I need to have you state your name for the record prior to making a statement with regards to the bill.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Russell Anderson. I'm the commander of the Alaska Wing Civil Air Patrol. And I appreciate what the legislators are doing here with this bill. And I might mention that the Civil Air Patrol is an auxiliary of the United States Air Force, similar to the Coast Guard auxiliary. It's a nonprofit organization. And for many years, most of our aircraft have been acquired through surplus properties. We have a pretty good chance of picking up surplus properties compared to many other agencies. We have one of the highest priorities. we not only pick up aircraft, but many other things through surplus. The problem is that many of the aircraft that we have acquired are old aircraft and are obsolete to the Air Force, and they're no longer being built. So the surplus aircraft is kind of drying up. Most of the military is going to turbo aircraft, and at this time, well, it'll probably be some time before they'll be surplus and they'll have engines available. Over the years, we've been talking with Senator Stevens, corresponding with him, and he's been trying to get aircraft for the Civil Air Patrol, the National Civil Air Patrol, through GSA. GSA has control of all confiscated aircraft, and throughout the United States there's a number of these, but so far this hasn't happened. There's some problems with other agencies in turning over confiscated aircraft to the Civil Air Patrol. I just came back from the National Executive Committee meeting, and it was CAP for the entire United States, and this is a real serious problem where the Civil Air Patrol would get aircraft. Many of our aircraft that we have, corporate aircraft in the state, we've mounted speakers on them and DF equipment. At the present time, we're installing some test equipment for the new satellite that's in orbit. So there is a real need to have these kind of aircraft in the CAP besides the number one aircraft. If you have any questions, you have to try to ask them.
Thank you, Andy. Any questions if you have any members of Mr. Anderson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The only question I have is to see this. You wouldn't want to pick up a dog, you know, in terms of course, you get a 185 or something there, it probably would be a pretty good dog aircraft if they could try to pick it up. If they could pick a Super Cub that's pretty well all beat up, you know, I guess you would have a, you would want to look at these things really close, which would cost more to fix it up than what it's worth. Who would make the decision on that?
Sir, we would have to take a look at each aircraft. I think from talking to Fish and Game, they would probably keep the Super Cubs and the 180s and 185s. The aircraft that I think we would be most interested in is probably a Beaver that has long range. We need a lot of range to do good searches. We also have a set policy for getting rid of any of our aircraft. It has to go out to bid sale. I'm the only person in the state that can't bid on it, and all the rest of the members can. But all proceeds that we receive after we receive permission to get rid of aircraft has to go back into other aircraft. It can't be used for anything except other aircraft. But I think that you're right. People have donated aircraft to us, and we have to make a determination whether it's worthwhile to fix it up or to sell it and use the funds for purchasing another aircraft. And we'll use our mechanics.
Further questions, Mr. Anderson? If not, thank you much. Andy, Representative Barnes, can I get a motion to adopt the committee consent?
Chairman, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House Judiciary Committee adopt CS for House Bill number 195, Judiciary, and ask unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Representative Barnes?
Speaker, Mr. Chairman, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Judiciary Committee passed from the committee substitute for House Bill number 195, Judiciary, an act committing transfer of forfeited aircraft to the Alaska Wing of Civil Air Patrol, and ask unanimous consent.
Is there objection? There being none, the House Judiciary Committee will move committee substitute for House Bill 195, an act committing transfer of forfeiture of aircraft to the Alaska Wing of Civil Air Control. Chairman of Air Patrol, the fiscal notes that we have accompanying the bill are zero. Got to mention it, and we do have them from the Administrative Services, the Fish and Wildlife, and from Mr. Okay, this is another public safety. So we have three fiscal notes all due. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
she feels that all around the country.
Yeah.
Andy, thanks. You bring back the tape?
I see it.
Thank you. The next matter at issue today is Appeal 188, which is an act relating to big game hunting and non-residents. The prior sponsor for the bill is Representative Ringstad is with us today. Representative Ringstad, could you please take your witness chair? And since we are recording electronically, I'll need to ask you to state your name for the record before proceeding with your statement.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm John Ringstad from District 20 in Fairbanks. HB 188 is an item that was brought to my attention. It was kind of along the lines of a cleanup situation. We currently require non-residents to have a guide in order to hunt specific animals, being grizzlies, sheep, a couple of specific animals. And the exception to that is if you come up, if a non-resident comes up and is hunting with a relative resident, and it's been defined as second degree of kindred, and it was brought to our attention that the second degree of kindred does not, as we currently have it on the books, does not include your in-laws. And it was recommended that we change this so it says second degree of kindred by blood or marriage, so that conceivably, if you were to have your sister and brother-in-law who are living in the States come up to go hunting with you, your sister could go hunting with you, your brother-in-law would have to go get a guide. And in all honesty, I don't think that people are doing that right now. I think that the assumption has been that they are your relative and that they're going to, if they so choose, they're going to come up and go hunting with the resident and not hire a guide. So I think what this legislation is intended to do was to kind of, I guess, maybe it's going backwards, but clean up the statute into conformity with the reality of the situation. There is a zero fiscal note that goes along with that. Doesn't seem to be, in our research on the resources end, doesn't seem to be any opposition from the Department of Fish and Game. They were kind of surprised, too, when they found out that this was the case, and they were also kind of under the assumption that the law had already included that, but apparently it didn't. With that, I think it's pretty much straightforward. I could answer any questions. Other than that, I would just recommend the passage of it.
Representative Buckley.
The legal opinion, one-page legal opinion from Edward Hyman, which concludes that the change proposed by this bill does not affect the constitutionality or unconstitutionality of AS 605407. That's worded sort of strange. Does that mean, so far as you know, that there is some other constitutional problem with this statute that isn't affected by this bill?
I don't know of any. My guess would be, just with all the residency laws in question right now.
But nobody's wondering.
The administration puts disclaimers on everything these days. And
you're not aware of a specific constitutional problem with this.
Mr. Barney?
Mr. Chairman, if memory serves me correctly, there is a lawsuit presently pending over a bill that we passed last year that deals with non-resident hunters.
Is it over? Mm-hmm. Is that the statute?
I believe it is.
Yeah.
But didn't that raise over the hunter, somebody got lost. And as a result of it, they got into this mess and... Talked to us about it there, and this does clean that or remove that possibility from arising again.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Dave Stanford. I'm John's research assistant.
There was a question raised as to whether or not this would weaken an already somewhat weak constitutional argument with the required guide provision. That provision is based on the issue of safety, which in the case of sheep and grizzly bear, there is some argument that this would hold to be found constitutional because of the nature of safety. Edward Hine was saying by adding in-laws in here, it does not affect that argument one way or the other. And so it pretty much resolved that particular question. And that was why he generated this amendment.
Well, let me just confirm, since we have a repeal and reenact here, there is no other change in the existing law except the addition of language that allows you to take your in-law.
My understanding, if I'm correct, they restructured the number one, number two, and AB into the physical layout, but the difference was by adding the by marriage.
Okay, just as long as we didn't, by restructuring it,
that total intent was just to put in the by marriage part.
What do you have, Marty?
Is there a substitute for this?
Nope.
Chairman, I move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill number 180, an act related to big game hunting by non-residents, be moved to the committee.
188.
Excuse me, I guess I need my glasses today. House Bill 188.
Is there objection? There being none, House Bill 188, an act related to big game hunting. Please come to the committee for the recommendations today.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Are you ready to move second? I guess the next question, how come you guys didn't go to the ferry?
Didn't go away?
How come you got on the ferry?
I've read the ferries all the time. It would be a nice trip. But I figure maybe for some new people.
Well, I thank you for coming on this day. Are you planning on being here tomorrow for the teleconference tomorrow?
Well, I have I've been reminded that I'm on a ski to sea team for that race tomorrow, but depending on the weather.
I can take it as just an expansion of the record. I'm not sure.
I plan B.
Yeah, I'm not sure that I have to even have a quorum to do it. It's published as a teleconference. I'm going to take the record whether we got a quorum or not. I'm going to go ahead and do it. And I'll sit here as long as there are those to testify. I did get this morning, we had two people to do a call and wanted to come over and actually put some input in the record too. Not further coming to the committee and not adjourn until maybe I'll just hold it in recess until 11 tomorrow. That way, we'll legally, if we don't have a quorum, I can legally continue the meeting, correct?
Are you planning on moving that bill or
attempting to move it? No. It's strictly for the expanded. That way, should be no quarrel about me, even if I'm the only one here, to open it up and expand the record.
I'm only here, Mr. Chairman. I've got to go to the pitfall.